This episode may contain language or discussions that may be offensive or triggering. Refer to the episode summary for details. Most people with million-dollar ideas don't have $1 million to bring their idea to life. But today you're going to get the insights that you need to find money for your business. Hey, it's your business bestie, Charlene Ketchum, and welcome to the She Confidential podcast. Today I got to chat with Naysa Shelley, attorney and founder of Carpe Diem Dating, about how she leveraged her network to secure funding to launch her dating app. Get ready to take notes. So thank you for chatting with me today, Naysa. So I'm going to just dive right in. You created Carpe Diem, which is a tech company offering a dating app for professional Black women. I've been on many dating websites and had many disappointing experiences on dating websites, but I haven't yet tried Carpe Diem. So can you tell me first, what inspired you to start a dating app?
Yeah, so inspiration, you know, came from just life itself, you know, life imitating art or whatever they say. So I'm an attorney by trade, and I was single, dating in DC, trying to find love. And similar to you, I was using all the existing dating apps. And I just really was going out on like dates with people that I thought were like, find people, right? Like they just weren't like my person. And so when I went to find a service that was built for someone like me, like a professional Black woman, I didn't find anything. I couldn't find anything. And so I was just like, this is crazy. Like there's so many, I just know so many in my small circle, amazing single Black women that I was like, I don't understand why there wouldn't be something made for us. But then there's a dating app for farmers or for Jewish people or for women who love bald men. Or I'm like, this, but there's nothing for Black women, this like large subset of society that like really, really struggle to find love. But, yeah. You know, in my humble opinion, like deserve love, you know, the most. And so I was like, I could be resolved that like, there's just nothing out there and just keep using what's existing or create something for us. And so chose the latter and decided to create something for us. So that's how Carpe Diem really came to being.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, and I love when people make something, create something out of a personal need.
Yeah.
Because then you truly have that investment because, and you identify with your client base because we know you get the struggle because you've been there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's funny. I always say like, I started to create a dating app that I would use and now it's grown to something so much bigger than something for me personally, right? Like it's something for the women in my life that I love, right? And then also extrapolating that out to so many other amazing Black women that I want to help find love. I want to be a part of their journey. I want them to turn to their friends and say like, I met this great person on Carpe Diem, like you should try it. So we're in early days of Carpe Diem, but our goal is to be like known worldwide for helping Black women find love.
Yeah. And so you had this amazing idea. What happened next?
So I like talked to people about the idea and I was like, what do y'all think of this? And no one like laughed me out of the room. And so I was like, okay. And then I talked to my best friend from law school and told her about the idea. And she was like, this is, you know, she wasn't an online dater. Like she didn't use online dating. So she didn't really have a, and she's not Black, right? But so she didn't really have a connection to like the industry, but she has said is that she just really believed in me and like saw how passionate I was that I was able to convince her to like join the team of one, like the team of me. And then like, we became a team of two. And from there, we just like together figured out how to build this thing, right? So what did we need? We needed resources. We needed capital, we needed knowledge that we didn't have. And like, how do we go about acquiring all of that to make what we want, you know, a reality? So that's kind of was the next step.
Wow. And so you mentioned that big C word, the capital.
Oh, yeah. Which
we know for Black women entrepreneurs, like the struggle is real when it comes to funding. We have these great ideas. We have the ability to bring them to fruition, but we need money to make it happen. Yeah. How did you find capital?
So the first, I didn't know anything about like venture capital. I didn't know anything about like how people brought products to market, you know? And so I was like Googling, like, I don't have the money. I was like, how do I make this, you know, without, and I also thought to myself, like, well, I did have money. Like, if I can't convince other people to invest in this, then maybe it's not like that great of an idea. Like, I should be able to like sell this to people if I'm like, if it's a good idea. And so my first step was to actually go to my friends and family. Cause like, that's what I saw online. Like, hey, you don't have any money. Like, you can raise money from your friends and family. And that's how you could potentially get your business off the ground. So, I mean, it really started with me trying to figure out exactly how to bring my idea to life. And that started with like me spending weeks at a coffee shop, making a business plan, like trying to understand the dating industry, trying to convince myself that this was worth my time, right? So that was like the first thing, like, this is a good idea and it's going to be worth your time in the long run. Then I took that idea and I brought it to my friends and family. So I literally like called people up and I was like, I'm having a meeting at my apartment or at my parents' house. And I want you to come and like hear this business idea. And so I like got little cards made and like little NDAs and, you know, and I made like an investor pitch before I knew what like an investor, a formal investor pitch was. And so through that process, I was able to raise like $180,000 just from my friends and family. And so I didn't really know how hard it was to raise like institutional capital at the inception of Carpe Diem because I like, you know, raised that money for my friends and family within like a couple of months. And I now looking back on it, understand how blessed, right? And like favored that I am, one, to have the network that I have so that we could do that. But then as Carpe Diem grew, we needed more capital, right? And I tapped that well, right? So yeah. I could be like, by the way, y'all got some more money? People were like, no, girl, I ain't got no more money for you. So I was like, okay, it's time to look at other ways of raising capital. And by that time, I had kind of ingrained myself in startup community. So I had been going to like events, networking. And so I started to hear these things about like, you can raise money from like institutions, from angels, from family offices, from, you know, your alumni groups. And so that was when I kind of put it together that, okay, we like need to do a formal, more formal raise. And it helps being an attorney, right? It helps like having that background. So then we kind of put everything together, like a pitch, the numbers, like everything that you would have for that. And then we kind of just went around, one, like getting warm introductions to people that we thought would be a good fit for our investors. We really started with angel networks and our alumni groups. So like I was able to raise capital. I'm a UVA grad from Cav Angels, a couple other angel networks. And then it kind of extrapolated out there for us to meet VCs, venture capitalists and some firms. And, you know, we did a lot of pitches and we heard a lot of no's, right? Yeah. But eventually we were able to secure the capital that we needed to like continue and grow Carpe Diem to where we're at currently.
That's amazing. And thank you for sharing the detail in your mm-hmm. journey, because that's the thing that a lot of people don't know how to do. They don't know where to start raising mm-hmm. that money. And there are a few nuggets that I want to tease out to make sure people really heard that you, one, you told people what you were doing. Mm-hmm. You told people. A lot of us have all these great things that we're doing in private, and the folks closest to us, they have no idea. So they can't support us, and they can't connect us with other people mm-hmm. who might be able to support us, because some people may be thinking, okay, Nasa knew all these people who could help her raise $180,000. I don't know anybody that has any money. Mm-hmm. First of all, stay out of their pockets, because you don't know that they don't have the money.
Right.
And two, you don't know who they don't know.
Right.
So that's the first thing. And then you also mentioned NDAs, the non-disclosure wow. agreements. Can you talk about that a little bit for the non-attorney folks who right. may not understand why you might need to have that before you start spilling all the beans on your great idea?
Yeah. So that's a really good point to tease out. And so I will say like a non-disclosure agreement is pretty much like a way to safeguard your idea so that you can freely share it with people. So you're pretty much saying, hey, I have this idea. I want to tell you all about it. But before I do, like, I want to ensure that you're not going to steal my idea, you know, go and share my idea with other people, claim that like the idea is yours, anything like that. And you can literally search non-disclosure agreement on Google. Like, you can find everything on Google, people. Like, I kid you not, like, there's no trick behind like the secret sauce. Like, type it into Google, right? And just go down the rabbit hole until you find the resources that you're looking for. You find the person that, you know, can help you get what you're looking for. But type in standard non-disclosure agreement in Google, pull one up, pull up a template, make some changes to it. You do not have to hire an attorney in order to do a lot of stuff to get your business off the ground. And a lot of the basic structure, you know, over time, maybe your attorneys will come in and give you like a stronger NDA or something like that. But just to get off the ground running, you can pull something offline. And then just to talk to you about, you know, sharing your idea. I always tell people, like, because I meet founders all the time, they want to talk to me, you know, they want to get advice. And, you know, they're like, I'm afraid to share my idea. And I'm like, truth be told, most people are too either busy, preoccupied, or lazy to follow their own dreams, right? Most people have in their lifetime had a $1 million idea, and they've just resolved that they could never do it. It would be too hard, and it would be very hard, right? But like, it would be too hard. And so they let it go by the wayside. So most people not only don't have the will to like change what they're doing in their life to steal your idea, they don't have the resources, right? So they may have even less resources than you have. So of course, there are the situations where you're talking to literally someone within your industry that has a ton of resources, and you should be very careful about what you say in those situations. But for the everyday person, like, they're a great like focus group. Like I said, I use my friends and family to be like, no, or yeah, that like sounds like a good idea. And most people are not going to drop what they're doing in their life to pick up your idea and run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's some vulnerability required if you want to be an entrepreneur, and get used to it early. Yeah.
Absolutely. I said it's one of the most humbling experiences, because the amount of no's that you hear on a daily basis is, you know, it can be overwhelming sometimes, right? But then you get those bright moments of yeses and collaborations that work well, customers that are happy, seeing your product in the world being used, like your vision. And so those things kind of make it worth it. And, you know, you're not going to achieve anything great easily, right? So,
yeah. Do you have any mindset tips for people? Because, you know, a lot of people, you mentioned all those no's, mm-hmm. and for a lot of people, that's where they stop. You know, yeah. they have that $1 million idea, but then they talk to all of these people. They don't have anyone who, because a lot of people have naysayers around them because they can't visualize it, because they can't think big. And so they may say, you know what? I don't know if that's something you should do. And if they're they don't attract the clients and they don't have the money, or they have to make substantial personal sacrifices. Mm-hmm. So actually, two questions for you. What type of personal sacrifices did you have to make financially to make this happen? And then how did you deal with that from a mindset standpoint to keep going?
That's a really great question. And something I talk about, but don't really talk about like all that much. But, you know, it's a lot of sacrifice, like, if you want to see your dream come true, and you as the captain of the ship, right, like, have to be willing to make the most sacrifices of anyone. And then hopefully in the long run, you're like, you'll have the biggest return, right, for yourself and your family and the people's lives that you're trying to change. But me personally, you know, I was an attorney for the DC government. I had a nice, comfortable 6-figure plus job. I had a condo in DC. You know, I traveled multiple times a year. I like had a very stable life. And in January of 2020, I quit my job. You know, I quit because I couldn't do both anymore at the same time. Yeah. I sold my condo. I liquidated my 401k. I moved back home in my parents' basement. Right. And I put my head down and focused on building Carpe Diem. Like, that's a lot of sacrifice. Like, you know, and scary, like very scary to be like, okay, I have no 401k. Like, I spent years building all that money up and now it's gone. But as far as mindset goes, I was just so excited about what it was that I'm building. And I know that you cannot achieve anything great without personal sacrifice. And then I just personally believe that if I can do something once, I can do it again, right? Like, the formula for building a 401k is, to me, like, not difficult. Like, I can go back to work. I can double down on what my investments are. I can, you know, invest in stocks and other things. But I wanted to take this point in my life to bet on myself. And so I figured, if not now, I literally have a thing on my phone and the screensaver says, if not now, when, right? And so that's kind of like a motto that I have for my life. My life is like, if you don't do it, then it's not going to get done, right? And if you don't do it now, then when are you going to get it done? And so I feel like for many people, it is a leap of faith. And I say all this cognizant of the fact that some people do not have the life circumstances to support something like I did, right? Like I live, I moved back home to my parents' house, right? Some people don't have that support system, right, to be able to do that. But everyone has their own set of challenges. And in order to accomplish your goals, like you have to figure out how to overcome them yourself. And it's never going to be an apples to apples comparison to anyone else's journey.
Yeah. Thank you for that transparency and being vulnerable and sharing that, because people see the other side of it. They can go to your website. They can talk to people who have found love, you know, or found hope and love again as a result of Carpe Diem. And they think, okay, well, she's successful. She made her idea work, but they don't know. Like, yeah, Nasa had to sacrifice. Yeah. It wasn't all rosy. Yeah. So people need to hear that side of it as well and be prepared for that. That doesn't mean you don't try, you don't go for it. Right. You just need to understand there's going to be some valleys.
Yes.
But there's going to be some peaks too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you have a partner when you decided to have a partner. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with when they're starting a business, whether or not they should go at it alone or bring in a partner. So how did you decide to bring in a partner and expand the rest of your team?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I started Carpe Diem, I was a solo founder, right? So it's been about a year and a half, like doing things on my own, like referencing friends, family, mentors for support. And over time, like you cannot grow anything by yourself. Like it's very rare circumstances. So even if you don't have a co-founder in your business or bring on a co-founder, you're not gonna be able to grow anything substantial alone. So you have to kind of eventually either look at how do I grow my team, like the support system around me, or like, how do I create so much efficiency, right? That like I can slow down how fast I need to bring someone on. For me, I didn't have the capital, right? So I didn't have like, oh, I can pay you $100,000 salary, like come on board and like help. So I first looked at my friends, people that I knew were competent, people that I knew were trustworthy, people that I knew like trusted me, right? Like, and my co-founder Sally was literally, when I mentioned before, like when I had the idea for Carpe Diem, she was one of the first people I told about it. And she was one of the first friends that wrote me $1,000 check and gave it to me in my hand and was like, I believe in you. Right. Yeah. And so over that next year, like I was using her as a sounding board for a lot of things, like mainly just to complain about like how hard it is. It was hard. Yeah. Right. And you know, I would tap her to be in like promotional videos for me. I was like, come be in this like video for me, or like, come like look at these things, or, you know, like just literally help. And one day we were having dinner in New York. I went to New York for Black Women Talk Tech. She was visiting her brother. And I was just like, you should like join me. And like, and she was like, are you being serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm being serious. And so, you know, we had like a serious like sit down meeting where we like came to negotiate terms of like her coming on board, and she's like no pushover. So she came and she was like, if I'm going to do this, like I'm going to do this. Right. And like, and that's how she's been as a partner, like fully in, like, you know, literally like, I feel like I've learned so much about relationships, like through my relationship with her as my business partner. And so that's kind of how it turned into a co-founder situation. And I tell people all the time, I look at solo founders and I'm like, I don't know how you're doing it. And I don't know if I'd want to do it alone either, right? Like, I feel like it's a very tough road to travel by yourself, and having a co-founder, someone who you can just turn to and be like, this is hard for you too, right? And like, they're like, yeah, but we're going to get through it, right? Like, it just helps keep things motivated and keep you going. And so I definitely recommend, if you're able to convince someone to join you in a crazy, crazy journey, like, you know, building a company, and things can work out, like to do it. And like, she herself has sacrificed so much. Like, she left her attorney position, right? Like, she's not making, neither of us are making as much as we were making, you know, as full-time attorneys. And so I appreciate that as well. And I think that those are the qualities that you have to look for. Someone who's like super passionate, somebody who believes in you as a leader, you know, somebody who is competent, understands the mission of the company. And, you know, it's an amazing thing to be with someone who's able to put themselves aside, right? Because she's not a Black woman, right? And like put the mission of the company first and be so full force behind what it is that we're doing. So I feel very lucky. And I hope that other people are able to find that either within their own network or, you know, through friends of friends to have someone join them.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's something that people always wonder, like, should I go at this alone or should I not? And I appreciate that you noted, even if it's not a co-founder, you need a team. Yeah. You cannot grow if you're doing this solo.
Yeah. Like, you can't.
Impossible.
You cannot do it all. It's impossible. And it's miserable, right? It's miserable to do it alone as well. And I tell people, it's like, as soon as you're able to grow your team, do it, because you as a founder, you deserve a life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you deserve to like take a Saturday off, right? Like, you deserve to, you know, have other people that have your back, right? Like, when you aren't able to show up, but other people are able to show up and they're trustworthy. And so lean on your network, ask people who they're friends with, who have they worked with that they would mm-hmm. recommend, who do they know that's competent, right? Like, and start there. And, you know, see if like the vibe is right. Make sure you talk to the person and they are on board with your vision of the company and what it is that you're building. Because you can find skill. It's really hard to find passion in people and like pay for skills, right? Like, it's very hard to pay for someone to be passionate about what it is that you're building. And that's one of the things that we look for.
Yeah. In addition to your team within your organization, what kind of support do you have outside? Like, you mentioned networking. How do you find other CEOs to network with?
I'm so lucky that I have, you know, a little cohort of DMV Black female founders that I rely on like so heavily for so much advice on how to build a company. People have different types of products, different types of companies are at different stages, right? And we all really lean on each other. And that really came from tapping into my existing network. Like, when I just told people I'm starting this company, I had people like, oh, you should meet so-and-so. And did you know that so-and-so like is also has a company? Like, you guys should have breakfast or like lunch together. We would participate in like pitch competitions that are like small, where you like just pitch your business and you get feedback from like a panel. And like, those are really helpful to kind of suss out like holes in like your business and what it is that you're doing. We'd meet other people at pitch competitions, right? Like, they're pitching their company, we're pitching our company, and afterwards we'd all talk. And so, oh, we should get together and have lunch, or, you know, let's collaborate on something, like, because your business is aligned with my business and like we can help us each other grow. And so that's what we really did. There's tons of networking events that you can find by like Eventbrite, like on Facebook, on Instagram. Just start following groups, following entrepreneur groups, following people in entrepreneurship. Go on Twitter and like follow VCs or other entrepreneurs and just like literally reach out to people. Hey, I saw that you're in this line of business. Like, I'm doing this and I'm building this company. I would love to take you out for coffee. Like, I would love to, like, you know, I tell people not to be like, I want to pick your brain, because that just sounds like work for the other person.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I'd love to take you out to coffee. I'd love to share what it is that I'm building with you. Like, do you have 15 minutes for us to like have an intro call, just so that like we can put faces to names? And you'd be surprised. Like, most people are totally willing to do that. And then once you find people that like you really trust and you trust their judgment, you know, they seem to be good operators, like, just hold them close, right? Like, just check in with them, be selfless in like the way that you give your time to other people. Because like, we as founders, I feel like we're always asking for stuff. Like, we need help, we need resources, we need money, we need connections, we need. And so in my mind, I try to also think about like what I can give. You know, like, what can I return to the community? How can I help other people? How can I connect other people? And so that's what I'd recommend there. And then the last thing I would just say is, through just being in the entrepreneurship community, like, you may get an article written about you. You may like just be at an event. You know, you'll get, you know, you'll start to get like known, you know, people will want you to be in certain spaces. And I think that that's really the goal, is like to be authentic in the way that you represent yourself and your company and interact with other people. And then, you know, follow up with people, you know, add value, be a value add to what it is that they're doing in their lives. And I think all that, the rest of stuff kind of comes naturally from that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I hope people are taking notes because that's, I mean, your circle impacts so much. And so we've been talking a lot about getting the company started and everything. And now I want to kind of switch gears a bit to talk about Carpe Diem itself, mm-hmm. like how you are helping Black women find love. So first, like, how did you distinguish Carpe Diem from the other dating apps and things out there? Distinguish yourself while also keeping up with the competition.
Yeah. So we kind of did a market analysis. So, I mean, it was easy because I was using everything. So yeah. It's kind of easy because I kind of...
You could have called me.
Yeah, I could have called you. You probably great. So first, it's kind of like, I know about, you know, 25% probably of the dating apps, the major ones out there, because I've tried and used them. Mm-hmm. I know what features they have. I know kind of what demographic they target. And then from there, we ran some focus groups. We like pulled in people and asked them like, what dating apps do you like? Like, what's your frustration points with? I feel like the number one thing to do is just like talk to people that would be your target customer and like first find out, like, do they share the problem that you're trying to solve? Like, is this a problem that you're only experiencing, right? Like, is it like a handful of people are experiencing or are a ton of people experiencing, right? And so when we went out and talked to women and everything, like it was almost like universal, right? Like, you know, even when we talked to women who were coupled, they'd be like, I'm the only one like in my friend group, right? That's like married or has a husband and I want my friends to find love, right? Or they'd be like, yeah, I've been looking, I've been doing all the things and I'm not finding the right person. And so we knew that the problem was acute and it was real from my lived experience as well as from talking to other people. And then we looked at the market and we were like, we don't just want to have like a app that's like a feature or like just serves Black women. We want to change the way that people in general are finding love, starting with a group that we're passionate about and we think has an acute problem, which would be Black women. And so we really looked at dating apps on a holistic level and we're like, what are the problems that we're seeing in dating apps? They're not safe. Right? Like, and Black women bear the brunt of the violence and, you know, things that happen on dating apps. So they're not safe. Anybody can get on them. So you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know if you're talking to Joe, you know, or if you're talking to somebody in India, or if you're talking, you know what I'm saying? Like you're talking to a woman, you don't know who you're talking to. Then it's too many options, right? Like the beauty of dating apps is that it gives you access to so many people, but what people don't realize is that you don't need access to that many people, right? Like you need access to quality people. Yes. That are people that you would connect with. But all dating apps does is put all the burden on you to swipe through and use very basic, you know, superficial markers to determine like if you'd be a good fit. Oh, this person is handsome. They're tall. Okay, I'm gonna swipe right on them. Okay, but he got all these prior felonies, right? Like he got all these, you know, he has other things that are negative about him that you don't know. And you have to suss all that out for yourself. And so when we looked at it, we were like, people need help, right? And so on the other end of that spectrum, there are these high-end matchmaking services and those people get help, right? Like they're paying thousands and thousands of dollars for someone to be their concierge, to be their version of a physical trainer, right? In the department of love and find people that are compatible with them. And for many cultures, this works very well, right? And it's very well known. It's not something that's, you know, negative. It's just something that they do within those cultures. And we don't, right? Like in the Black culture, we don't really employ matchmakers. We are kind of out there on our own. And so we wanted to make that experience accessible to our members, because we think it solves a lot of problems, right? You're not swiping. We verified who these people are. You know, we know that they're looking for similar things and we know so much about the other person before we even match them with you, right? So we don't need to send you someone who doesn't want kids if we know that you really want kids, right? Like we don't need to serve you someone who is like a devout Catholic, right? But then you're, you know, Baptist and like you would never convert, or you're Muslim and you would never convert, right? Like these are like high level deal breakers for people that why even show you this person? Okay, now he's good looking, right? So now you're going out with him and a year later y'all are breaking up because he doesn't want kids, right? So it's these types of things that we think that dating apps aren't taking into consideration. They're just literally putting a ton of people in front of you and problems that we wanted to solve, and why, you know, now we have 100% background check member base. We interview all of our members. We're very selective on who is accepted into the community. There's no swiping. You have direct contact with your matchmaker to track and monitor your success on our platform. We give you analytics on how you're dating. So we notice in the dating industry, there's no feedback loop. People don't know what they're doing right. They don't know what they're doing wrong. You don't know why the person stopped messaging you and ghosted you, right? Like, so for us, we're like, no, we want to know. And we want you to know, right? Like, we want to know that on your video call, you were boring, right? And so maybe you need some coaching. We want to know that like your pictures are not appealing to people. So we need you to like get some better quality photos that really show yourself in a positive light, because that can change the game for you in the dating, in your dating journey. So these are all the types of things that we are trying to address. And it's hard, right? It's hard to change something that's really ingrained in the way that people interact with each other, as, you know, dating apps have been. But we think in the long run, it's going to really improve the way that people are experiencing love and finding love.
I wish I were in the DC area.
we're going to expand. We're working on it. We tell people, because we have people applying from all over. We have people applying from London, and we're like, we're coming.
Sorry, I know. I know. I saw when I was on the website, and actually we have a mutual connection. That's how I found out about you. And so that networking thing, like, people, it works, because I was talking to her about the show and just wanting to find, you know, other Black women CEOs who were doing innovative things. And she said, oh my gosh, I know who you need to talk to. And
remember who it is?
Patrice.
Oh, Patrice. Her so much. She's amazing.
She is amazing.
Together at the in the DC government. She's yes.
Yeah, she's highly absolutely regarded
in my mind and heart.
Yeah, she's so amazing. Truly. But yeah, she told me about you, and I immediately went on the website and I was so excited. And I'm like, oh, I'm in St. Louis. So yeah, I'm looking for that expansion. I'm
hoping the next 2 years will be nationwide. So we're gonna roll out in a couple more cities next year, hopefully. And then hopefully we just get this, you know, momentum behind it that we can be everywhere all at once.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's, I mean, scaling, that is, and just, you know, I'm a warm, fuzzy person, but when we talk about love, it really is essential. And for those who want to be partnered, they deserve that. And Black women, we so often are just giving so much to everyone else and being deprived of having that partnership and love. So I'm so thankful and grateful for you and just being willing to make the sacrifices, you know, personally and financially and emotionally, everything. I know your journey had and has to be tough, but thank you for being willing to do it, because this is bigger than just, you know, just your dream. Even this is about people being able to find love and have that support and nourishment that we all need as humans. Like, that's basic.
Thank you so much for that. And, you know, on top of that, I will have to just, I'd be remiss if I didn't say how many Black women are on this journey with us, right? Like, the patience and the grace and the support that we've been extended from women and men wanting to join our community and realizing that we're literally building as we're flying is incredible to me, right? Like, we had women that we interviewed early last year, right? Like, to join Carpe Diem, that we're just now letting onto the platform. And they're not complaining. You know, they're just checking in, hey, like, just checking on my application. You know, and so we could not do it without them. And also the gentlemen, the suitors that are joining our platform, we couldn't do it without them. And the understanding that they have about what it takes to build something from nothing, you know, for a community that has been, you know, woefully overlooked and underserved in this industry. And so, you know, as patient as I feel like I've been and how much sacrifice I've probably put in, like, the women that we're trying to serve are incredible when it comes to their ability to just be like, we know you're working, we know you're building, we know you're bringing it, we know that it's going to happen, and we're here to support you. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been supporting us.
Yeah, sending all them hearts and love, hearts and love emojis.
Yeah. And hopefully amazing matches soon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, those testimonials will be phenomenal. And so one of my final questions for you is, what has been one of your biggest lessons as an entrepreneur?
Biggest lesson as an entrepreneur is that everything takes longer to manifest in reality than it does in your mind, right? So I've, you know, had a vision for Carpe Diem, and I see the entire thing, right? Like in my head, I see all of it. I see like people getting matched around the world. I see, you know, all these relationships. I see all these Carpe Diem babies. I see all the features of Carpe Diem, right? Like I just see how it can like change the world. But then like to manifest what you have in your mind into reality takes so much time, and it's never as fast as you think it's going to be. I'm like, oh, that'll take 2 months. 6 months later, I'm like, okay, that's done. Nice, right? Like, so I think that that's one of the things I would say for entrepreneurs is like, just be patient, but consistent, like in what it is that you're building, and realize that the setbacks are not unique to you, right? Like we're all experiencing them, and we're all just really fighting to bring what we manifest in our head to life. And it just will take longer. It will take more money. It will take more resources. It will take more sleepless nights and missed vacations than you will anticipate, right? And so the hope is that in the end, you know, you are able to manifest what it is that you have in your mind and in your heart into reality. And that journey and everything that you're learning along the way and sacrificing along the way will be worth it. And so that's my hope for myself and everyone else that's, you know, doing something very unique and something a lot of people don't do, which is like become an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah. Speak it, believe it, and it shall be.
Yep.
Thank you. Can you share your website so that people know where to find you and your Instagram? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Carpe, the letter M, dating.com. You can go on there and find out everything about us. And we are Carpe DM Dating across all social media channels. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. Please join our journey. And then you can find me as well on Instagram at Carpe DM Boss.
Excellent. And I will have those links in the description notes.
Make sure you like, subscribe, and sign up for notifications so that you don't miss any She Confidential podcast episodes. I'll see you next time.